when you're building examples, it can be important, give it varied examples. So if you find that in leveraging your prompt plus template, it's sort of too closely following your example, you may need to give it another example that shows the idea applied a different way so that it understands, like as a for instance, I've built out documentation where I broke down emails, and the email that I was breaking down mentioned Zillow a lot, right? And so it took that to mean, oh, I get what you want me to do. You want me to mention Zillow every time I write an email. It's like, no, that's not what I'm meaning. So I had to give it examples that showed a concept but didn't mention Zillow, and then it was able to better understand it. In this episode, we're going to be talking about why you need to be building a library to have success with AI and what you should be having in that library. What are we assembling in this library of things to have success with our AI tools? So that's what we're going to be covering. Again, I got Charlie Madison back with me, co-hosting again with us. Charlie Madison, developer, realtor, business owner, Hawaiian shirt wearer, founder of Referrals While You Sleep and the Realtor Waiting List, coming back on, always sharing a useful perspective. Welcome back, Charlie.
Donde está biblioteca? Is that right? Where's the library?
Me llamo T-Bone, la araña discoteca. from the Spanish 101 rap from Community, if you ever watched that show. But anyway.
I thought you just said you were going to T-Bone me at the discotheque. I didn't know.
I said, my name is T-Bone, the disco spider, is what I said. But anyway, welcome back. So yeah, so we're talking about building a library to have success with AI. So first off, is this a concept that you've explored much? What are your thoughts on this? What strikes you first when I talk about that idea?
I think maybe this is going to be the solution to my haphazard notes of how do I get all of my AI prompts and templates to work together. It's so scattered. It's so hard to actually duplicate stuff. How, and is this the solution?
Yes. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully just understanding that if you build a library of tools and then know when, where, and how to use them, that will give you more opportunities to leverage AI for consistent success, for it to be a consistent, repeatable part of your business. Yes, that's what we're looking to uncover here. So instead of coming into ChatGPT and thinking, I need to do this, and then retyping your prompts every time and rethinking through what you're going to do every time, instead, you think of it closer to like building a suite of tools that you go back to time after time, depending on the purpose that you need them for. And this is going to be the tools that I like to build so far. So this might grow, this might change, but so far, these are the ideas that kind of fit in my library of the things that I'm continually building. So does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, perfect. So let's start with the first one. So the first thing that goes in my library are the prompts themselves, right? So this is the thing that most people are probably already starting with. So when I say prompt, I'm typically talking about mega prompts, right? And mega prompts go back to the framework that I've described in a previous episode. We're talking about we want the AI to act as someone. We're talking about the task, the goal, the steps, as well as the context and constraints, essentially the guidelines that we're giving AI in terms of accomplishing whatever goal we're setting out. When we're giving it those prompts, we try and be clear, specific, and somewhat narrow in the outcome that we're asking it to do, something that feels like it makes sense to wrap into one task rather than trying to expect it to research an idea, write based on the research, and optimize it. Like, we can, but I typically get the best results when I build a prompt that's designed for research, build a prompt that's designed for writing, build a prompt that's designed for optimization. So does that make sense conceptually, just...
Yeah.
What I think when I'm thinking about building prompts for my library.
That makes sense.
Perfect. And typically for all of these things, what I'm most often doing is I'm building them as markdown documents. I use a tool called HackMD. It's free. I like to build them in markdown because the markdown itself, it's basically really simplified HTML. It's really easy to learn. I like building them that way because it allows me to convey more information through my prompt than I would separately. I'm able to indicate more clearly, here's the thing that I'm about to describe, then here's the thing. Here's, this is a title section, but this is the actual information that I want you to do. So I'm able to convey more content with less characters, which can be important for optimizing your usage of AI. Is that needed?
You can add bold.
What's that?
You can add headings, exactly. Bold, italic, because by default,
exactly.
ChatGPT just reads all the text. And so this exactly. way you can actually say asterisk, here's a bold setting.
Exactly. And so it's not 100% needed. ChatGPT is pretty good at understanding things without that. So don't feel like that should be a reason to hold you back. But I do like to do it because it does fully understand Markdown. And Markdown is a plain text formatting language. So you could copy and paste it and it fully understands the formatting and context that you're getting or that you're giving it by providing it a Markdown formatted prompt or, you know, whatever. So it's not necessary. Don't let it be a thing that holds you back, but it's better. And if you take the little bit of time it takes to learn, you're going to get better results. So I do recommend it. So the prompts, that's item number one in my library. The other things that I like to build. So I'm going to go probably most obvious through the collection here. After prompts are going to be my templates. So my templates are going to be, maybe the prompt is designed to write a social media post, but I'm going to build out multiple templates that are the actual different kinds of social media posts that I want it to write.
Gotcha.
Right? And so my templates are going to be conceptual examples of, you know, they're broad. I want you to start with this sort of hook. The hook should be a question. Then I want you to go into this way of breaking down the idea. Then I want you to include a list. Then I want you to close out with a call to action. Right? Like, it's those sorts of ideas. I have a specific way of structuring those templates. We actually just did an episode about that. So if you want to learn more about how I think through building templates, go reference that episode where I cover that more in depth. But the idea is essentially giving it really clear guardrails of how to do this thing that you're doing. So that's part of how you can make your prompts more versatile as well, where you build a prompt that's designed to do the general task of writing a social media post, but in the prompt, you include that you want it to reference the template for how to actually write it. And so by uploading different templates, you can get it to write different styles of social media posts. Does that make sense? Now, I consider this, I'm going to call it something separate, but really they go together to me. Every time I include a template, I also want to include examples. Right? But I think about them separately because the template does a certain thing and then the examples do something else. So the template is a distilled idea, but the example shows it more clearly how to convey that. But so I assemble them together. And typically, if I'm building a template, I'm building examples at the same time. When you're building examples, it can be important to give it varied examples. So if you find that in leveraging your prompt plus template, it's sort of too closely following your example, you may need to give it another example that shows the idea applied a different way so that it understands, like as a for instance, I've built out documentation where I broke down emails and the email that I was breaking down mentioned Zillow a lot, right? And so it took that to mean, oh, I get what you want me to do. You want me to mention Zillow every time I write an email. It's like, no, that's not what I'm meaning. So I had to give it examples that showed a concept but didn't mention Zillow, and then it was able to better understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so far we've got our prompts. Our prompts can be modified by our templates, and our templates almost always include examples. And examples are the abstracted concepts in the template shown in like their completed form. Like, what would that look like? Sometimes, depending on how it's structured, I might put documentation together that shows like templated concepts where I say, these are ideas that I like present in an email. And then here's an example of how that idea gets conveyed. Other times it's more directly structured and a clear, exact template, but templates and examples tend to go together. With that in mind, here's another kind of document that I like to put together, which is what I call a style map. Okay, so a style map is different from a template in that a template is typically more exact, right? It's, you know, you open this way, you convey this idea next, that sort of idea. It's a very clear thing. A style map is more conceptual, right? Like, when I write emails, I tend to say things in a friendly tone, right? So I'll list out those ideas. But again, just like with the templates, I like to give examples. So when I say a friendly tone, here are some of the phrases that I like to use, right? Maybe my emails, I want to convey that I provide value, right? And what does it mean to say that the email provides value? And so I'll give phrases that explain what I mean when I'm saying the emails provide value, right? So I'll build out documentation that has lots of ideas. The ideas aren't meant to be followed exactly. They're meant to be inspiration, but inspiration plus example. So it's concept plus example and less of a template, but more of a, again, it's a map of the style. It's a map of the tone, that sort of thing. I'll often also create formatting guidelines in a style map where things like short sentences. What do I mean by short sentences? I mean, you know, approximately this many words and lots of line breaks. I don't want paragraphs of more than one sentence, right? Those sorts of ideas. Does that make sense in terms of that sort of documentation?
Yeah.
Perfect. So far we've covered prompts, templates, which include examples, and style maps, which include examples as well, right? Sometimes I have them literally in separate documents. So I'll have the template plus a separate file that is the example for that style template, etc. Now, here's where we start getting into, maybe this already feels advanced, but here's where we start getting to where I feel like AI becomes even more powerful and we get really, really ninja with getting the right results from it. Does that sound good? Should I dive into
Let's do it.
Into those documents? All right, perfect. So the other thing that we like to convey is we like to convey the who of these concepts, right? We want to convey more information, more context around who. And there's two big ones that you may or may not use depending on the prompt, but they're really important to have preset documentation around. The first one is who are you, right? Who's the person writing this? Who's the company writing this? Depends on like from what perspective you're writing or you're asking it.
And that's who ChatGPT is acting as, or it's just me?
No, so this is different.
Okay.
That's you. It's you personally. So you want it to understand, like it's writing an email, it's writing a social media post on your behalf. It's worthwhile for it to know things like, what's your company's name? What sort of things do you offer? What's your view of how you help, how you solve problems? What are the products that you offer? What are the solutions that you offer? What's some of your track record? What's like, essentially the way that I think about this is it's almost like a condensed bio of who you are so that it understands, all right, I'm writing this on behalf of Zach Hammer. Who is Zach Hammer? Right? Like, who is this person that I'm writing on behalf of? What are some of the things that might matter to the people that I'm writing for? What are the things that make him credible? What are the things that make him worth listening to? Or what are the things that make him interesting? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's trying to distill the ideas of who are you so that it knows how to write on your behalf.
Makes sense.
And within that vein, so when I'm thinking about who, from my perspective, I'm thinking about who am I, thinking about who is my company, right? That those sorts of ideas. So even if I'm building this for somebody else, those are the same things, right? I might be thinking about if it's being written on behalf of the marketing director at this company, I'm going to give it information about who is the marketing director, what's their name, what's some of their track record, that sort of thing. I'm also going to give it information about who is the company. What's the company's track record? Who do they serve? What are their products? That sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So the who documentation around me. The other who documentation that I like to put together that typically takes more time and effort, and really I have thinking and training around this by itself, is something typically we call this a customer avatar, right? And that's who we're writing it for. So who am I? We covered. Who am I writing this for? Who is this being created for? And inside that documentation, I like to include lots of information. I like to think about this in advance, and I like to build a library of customer avatars. So the kinds of things that I like to put into there, I like to put in psychographic information, demographic information. So demographic information is like the basics, like this fictional person, who are they? What's their age? What's their name? What's their gender? Do they have kids? Are they married? Are they not? What are their aspirations? What are their motivations? What are their fears? What are their obstacles? What are the things that they've tried and failed? What pain is that causing them? I like to think through this thing and build out a story for these people in advance. One of those subsets of that idea in building a customer avatar is something I do called a customer empathy map. And that's really where we dive into those pain points, those fears, those aspirations. I have documentation around the questions that I think through for that and how and why and how I build that out. But those essentially to me, those right now are my building blocks for how I build AI systems that could do nearly anything, right? So I can build out prompts that are designed to reference these separate documentation places where I've done a lot of work in advance, but I could pull them in dynamically as I need to, right? Where here's the thing that we're doing. That's essentially the prompt. I'm giving it specificity on how I want to do it with templates. Like what does that look like? What does the end result look like? I'm giving it more specificity with style maps to say, like, when you change words, and here's some of the ideas for how you should change those words, right? Like how they should sound, how it should be formatted, long sentences, short sentences, etc. I'm also giving it the context about who, like the position it's writing from, so it understands that role to take on if it's going to write on my behalf, my company, etc. And then it knows how to structure what we're talking about in light of the pain points of the person that we're talking to with that customer avatar and that customer empathy map. With that documentation, that so far is what I build into my AI library. I build all of those components. And when I think about I have a tool or I have a process that I'm wanting to build out, I start looking at what are the pieces that I need to build, what are the pieces that I already have built that I then just leverage in that process. So, like, I don't keep rebuilding the information about me all that often. I build it once, I put in some work up front, I've got that built. I might adapt it here or there occasionally. Same thing with information about my company, right? Like, I don't rebuild those often. Same thing with the customer empathy maps and the customer avatars. It's you put in the work up front, but then you keep reusing it. You pull in the customer avatar documentation when you're working with AI. The things that I do spend most of my time building are the prompts and the templates, right? So those are the things that I continually, as I have a new use case, I build a new prompt, I build new templates, and then that helps me to build things successfully. And this is the case whether or not I am doing a, like building a process that I'm just going to run manually through a ChatGPT thread, or whether I'm building a full-on GPT that's designed to do these things in more of a recurring basis. I'll leverage this documentation in that process, either copy and paste the stuff just from my library or upload documents and have it reference it, those sorts of ideas. But that's essentially what I think through right now when it comes to building the success library. So does that sound helpful to you? Does that sound useful to you? What stands out? How does that impact you? What do you think about those ideas?
Yeah, I like you're starting with the end in mind. Like the prompt is the end in mind. So create a social media post for LinkedIn. Create a social media post for Twitter. Create a, you know, like these are my prompts. And then you work backwards. Here's my template. And then here's my individual pieces for all of that. And so that way it's more likely that if I want to have, you know, create a social media post for Reddit, I've got a lot of the pieces and I can just modify that one thing and kind of put it all together. So I like the, I like that you laid it out with the end in mind and then you brought it back. And then I, you know, one of the things that I've learned, I've been working with our friend Richard with some stuff with AI is that I don't have to give it as much information as I used to, or that I would think. For example, like I've got a buyer profile that I've used that I've created for my lenders. And I actually found a prompt that said, hey, create a buyer profile. And I would give it websites and it would create buyer profiles. And then like I combined a bunch of them. So like it wasn't 100% correct, but I didn't have to start from scratch because I'm not good at starting from scratch. So, you know, I guess my suggestion for someone would be if you're wanting to create a buyer profile, like if they got your vault or they're in your mastermind, they'll get all the information. But just start out and say, I want to build a buyer profile for families that are about to have another kid and buy another home. Or I want to build a profile for a realtor that does 8 to 12 transactions a year and I can help them get to 24 to 36. Tell me, what are their fears? What are their, you know, build a profile so you can get started by AI. When I've given it a website of like a coaching company, it does really good at building a profile off of that.
Yeah, giving it any level of context to go off of really helps a ton. I've built profiles off of websites, off of YouTube transcripts, off of Yelp reviews, off of all sorts of things, anywhere where you could sort of come together and be able to see either who is this person likely serving or who is running into problems that they're helping. Through that context, it really is, you're able to sort of distill those ideas and extract them. And what I like to do is I like to have clarity around who I'm reaching. And so I might build out extensive documentation, but most of the time, that's actually not what I leverage in AI. I'll build out extensive documentation and then I'll use that and get it to distill it down to its key components, key ideas. Because you are currently still typically limited by your token, you know, your token count. And so you do still have to be somewhat strategic. And so I will take a big document and get it, try and distill it down into smaller ideas, and then leverage those smaller ideas in the context of my prompt and my templates and those sorts of ideas. And that can make a big difference. To me, the piece that this still ultimately comes back to, you're going to get better results by asking it to consider these ideas, period, right? By considering who you're talking to, who you are, etc. You will get even better results the more you know the things that actually matter, right? Being able to, like, knowing things like the levels of awareness, knowing things like what are their primary motivators versus, like, maybe the more subconscious motivators, so that those things get mixed in. Even if it's not the thing that they say on the surface, it's still the thing that you know matters to them. Being able to know to ask those questions, it could fill in the answers really well for you, but you almost have to know what to ask and know what you're looking for.
Right.
You'll get good results just by having it consider it at all. You'll get better results by knowing what it should be considering, right? And so that's where over time you refine these things and you start getting it to integrate. On your show, we forget what the name of the tool is, which is, it's probably somewhat silly because I think it's a really simple name, but where the concept is that you just basically keep asking why, right? You
right.
keep asking why this, right? And then you start getting to the underlying reasons. And you can do that same concept where if you start with what's going on and you understand the deeper reasons why it matters and start building that documentation, you actually build out a much better end result in the process. But the key point, start with where you are, right? And the way that I like to think about this, people see AI as a shortcut to not having to do work. And that's true, but if you start with that principle in mind of, like, I'm going to be lazy, so I'm going to use AI, you will get poor results.
Right.
If you start with the idea of, I'm willing to work really hard so I don't have to work hard at all, you will get amazing results.
Right.
And when I think through that library, that's what's going through my mind. What's going through my mind is that I will have thought through these things in depth. I have extreme clarity over what we're doing, why, and all of that. And so I have these pieces that they might take me a while to build at first, but once I've built them the first time, adapting them in the future is really easy. Right? Like,
yeah.
Making a minor change in the future is really easy once I've considered who am I serving and what are their fears, what are the motivations, that sort of idea. And so I don't have to change that much. And similarly, templating for me has become easy because I've put the work into doing it. And I know that if I build a template, then I essentially have software that could reproduce something with very minimal inputs from here on in. And it takes work, but it makes it so that my long-term outcomes are drastically more leveraged. And I could put tasks onto people on my team because I've distilled my thinking into AI documentation that a human's able to then go and leverage without me. And yet we could still get the same end result where the places where I'm needed, which is like my unique insight, my unique point of view, my unique human spark is what we've talked about.
Right.
Where it needs me for that, I'm able to provide that alone and get everything else that I need.
Right.
And that's where things become really magical and why we look at building something like a library of these tools to make those processes easier. So if you want that process to be even easier and you want to start from my insane level of building these things out in advance, seeing my templates, having me help you build templates, having me show you how I build customer empathy maps and customer avatars and prompts and all of the tools that I've done to make my life easier in that process, then I recommend that you check out what we're up to with the AI for Real Estate Teams Mastermind. You could check that out by going to realestategrowthhackers.com/contact. Let us know that you're interested. We'll get you the details of how you might be able to join up and be a part of what we're doing. So I highly encourage you, if you are interested in that, if you want me to help make that process easier, we still have availability currently. I actually record these episodes long in advance, so who knows if we'll have availability by the time you reach out, but reach out, at worst, get on our waiting list, and we'll make sure and see if you're a good fit and get you the information. There's no commitment in terms of asking us about it, seeing if it's a good fit for you. But yeah, I highly encourage, if that sounds interesting to you, reach out to us and we'll see what we can do to help. But yeah, otherwise, any final parting words on this episode, Charlie?
One of the reasons that this probably made sense is I've seen your biblioteca. I've seen your library. And so, like, I've seen how it's all put together. And I remember when I got access, I was like, I think I've shared before, I was like a kid on Christmas. I'd be like, oh my gosh, I've got access to all of this. So I would just say, do it. It's such a jump start. I've spent thousands of dollars on prompts and learning, and I believe in the growth of the slight edge. If I can get the slight edge, right, it's totally worth it. And it's not a slight edge. It's a mountain type. So it's pretty awesome.
Indeed. Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. So, yeah, if you want to check that out, what Charlie just described, our Amp Intel Elite Drive, where you get access to all of the prompts that I've built. We're also continually building out GPTs that make it even easier for you. We're doing work together live so that we're actually accomplishing things together, finding out what you need to build and helping you build it from our perspective, trying to shorten that learning curve for everybody and getting these principles put into action rather than just teaching. We're actually building them live and doing them together. So if that sounds interesting to you, again, reach out, realestategrowthhackers.com/. At some point, we'll probably put together a page specifically about it. But right now, I'm purposefully keeping it somewhat hard to get in because I only want the motivated people, because so far it's a great group that are really putting these things into practice and actually leveraging them effectively. And I want to make sure that the people who come through are motivated. So realestategrowthhackers.com/contact if you are interested. We'd love to see if it's a good fit for you. So anyway, until next time, this has been the Real Estate Growth Hacker Show. We'll catch you on the next one. We're talking about the task, the goal, the steps, as well as the context and constraints, essentially the guidelines that we're giving AI in terms of accomplishing whatever goal we're setting out. When we're giving it those prompts, we try and be clear, specific, and somewhat narrow in the outcome that we're asking it to do, something that feels like it makes sense to wrap into one task rather than trying to expect it to research an idea, write based on the research, and optimize it. Like, we can, but I typically get the best results when I build a prompt that's designed for research, build a prompt that's designed for writing, build a prompt that's designed for optimization. So does that make sense conceptually, just
yeah.
What I think when I'm thinking about building prompts for my library?
That makes sense.
Perfect. And typically for all of these things, what I'm most often doing is I'm building them as markdown documents. I use a tool called HackMD. It's free. I like to build them in markdown because the markdown itself, it's basically really simplified HTML. It's really easy to learn. I like building them that way because it allows me to convey more information through my prompt than I would separately. I'm able to indicate more clearly, here's the thing that I'm about to describe, then here's the thing. Here's, this is a title section, but this is the actual information that I want you to do. So I'm able to convey more content with less characters, which can be important for optimizing your usage of AI. It's,
you can add
it's not 100% needed.
You can add bold.
What's
you can,
that?
You can add headings,
exactly.
Bold, italics, because by default,
exactly.
ChatGPT just reads all the text. And so this
exactly.
way you can actually say asterisk, here's a bold setting.
Exactly. And so and it's not 100% needed. ChatGPT is pretty good at understanding things without that. So don't feel like that should be a reason to hold you back. But I do like to do it because it does fully understand Markdown. And Markdown is a plain text formatting language. So you could copy and paste it and it fully understands the formatting and context that you're getting or that you're giving it by providing it a Markdown formatted prompt or, you know, whatever. So it's not necessary. Don't let it be a thing that holds you back. But it's better. And if you take the little bit of time it takes to learn, you're going to get better results. So I do recommend it. So the prompts, that's item number one in my library. The other things that I like to build. So I'm going to go probably most obvious through the collection here. After prompts are going to be my templates. So my templates are going to be, maybe the prompt is designed to write a social media post, but I'm going to build out multiple templates that are the actual different kinds of social media posts that I want it to write.
Gotcha.
Right? And so my templates are going to be conceptual examples of, you know, they're broad. I want you to start with this sort of hook. The hook should be a question. Then I want you to go into this way of breaking down the idea. Then I want you to include a list. Then I want you to close out with a call to action. Right? Like it's those sorts of ideas. I have a specific way of structuring those templates. We actually just did an episode about that. So if you want to learn more about how I think through building templates, go reference that episode where I cover that more in depth. But the idea is essentially giving it sort of really clear guardrails of how to do this thing that you're doing. So that's part of how you can make your prompts more versatile as well, where you build a prompt that's designed to do the general task of writing a social media post, but in the prompt, you include that you want it to reference the template for how to actually write it. And so by uploading different templates, you can get it to write different styles of social media posts. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, I consider this, I'm going to call it something separate, but really they go together to me. Every time I include a template, I also want to include examples, right? But I think about them separately because the template does a certain thing and then the examples do something else. So the template is sort of the distilled idea, but the example shows it more clearly how to convey that. But so I assemble them together. And typically, if I'm building a template, I'm building examples at the same time. When you're building examples, it can be important to give it varied examples. So if you find that in leveraging your prompt plus template, it's sort of too closely following your example, you may need to give it another example that shows the idea applied a different way so that it understands, like as a, for instance, I've built out documentation where I broke down emails, and the email that I was breaking down mentioned Zillow a lot, right? And so it took that to mean, oh, I get what you want me to do. You want me to mention Zillow every time I write an email. It's like, no, that's not what I'm meaning. So I had to give it examples that showed a concept but didn't mention Zillow, and then it was able to better understand it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so far we've got our prompts. Our prompts can be modified by our templates, and our templates almost always include examples. And examples are the abstracted concepts in the template shown in like their completed form. Like, what would that look like? Sometimes, depending on how it's structured, I might put documentation together that shows like templated concepts where I say, you know, these are ideas that I like present in an email. And then here's an example of how that idea gets conveyed. Other times it's more directly structured and a clear exact template. But templates and examples tend to go together. With that in mind, here's another kind of document that I like to put together, which is what I call a style map. Okay, so a style map is different from a template in that a template is typically more exact, right? It's you know, you open this way, you convey this idea next, that sort of idea. It's a very clear thing. A style map is more conceptual, right? Like when I write emails, I tend to say things in a friendly tone, right? So I'll list out those ideas. But again, just like with the templates, I like to give examples. So when I say a friendly tone, here are some of the phrases that I like to use, right? When I, or maybe my emails, I want to convey that I provide value, right? And what does it mean to say that the email provides value? And so I'll give phrases that explain what I mean when I'm saying the emails provide value, right? So I'll build out documentation that has lots of ideas, and the ideas aren't meant to be followed exactly. They're meant to be inspiration, but inspiration plus example. So it's concept plus example, and less of a template, but more of a, again, it's a map of the style. It's a map of the tone, that sort of thing. I'll often also create formatting guidelines in a style map where things like short sentences. What do I mean by short sentences? I mean, you know, approximately this many words and lots of line breaks. I don't want paragraphs of more than one sentence, right? Those sorts of ideas. Does that make sense, as, you know, in terms of that sort of documentation?
Yeah.
Perfect. So far we've covered prompts, templates, which include examples, and style maps, which include examples as well, right? Sometimes I have them literally in separate documents. So I'll have the template plus a separate file that is the example for that style template, etc. Now, here's where we start getting into, maybe this already feels advanced, but here's where we start getting to where I feel like AI becomes even more powerful and we get really, really ninja with getting the right results from it. Does that sound good? Should I dive into,
let's do it.
into those documents? All right, perfect. So the other thing that we like to convey is we like to convey the who of these concepts, right? We want to convey more information, more context around who. And there's a few key ideas. Really, there's two big ones that you may or may not use depending on the prompt, but they're really important to have preset documentation around. The first one is, who are you, right? Who's the person writing this? Who's the company writing this? Depends on like from what perspective you're writing,
and that's
or you're asking it.
And that's who ChatGPT is acting as, or it's just me.
No, so this is different.
Okay,
that's you. It's you personally. So, so you want it to understand, like it's writing an email, it's writing a social media post on your behalf. It's worthwhile for it to know things like, what's your company's name? What sort of things do you offer? What's your view of how you solve problems? What are the products that you offer? What are the solutions that you offer? What's some of your track record? What's like essentially the way that I think about this is it's almost like a condensed bio of who you are so that it understands, all right, I'm writing this on behalf of Zach Hammer. Who is Zach Hammer? Right? Like who is this person that I'm writing on behalf of? What are some of the things that might matter to the people that I'm writing for? What are the things that make him credible? What are the things that make him worth listening to? Or what are the things that make him interesting? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's trying to distill the ideas of who are you so that it knows how to write on your behalf.
Makes sense.
And within that vein, so when I'm thinking about who, from my perspective, I'm thinking about who am I, thinking about who is my company, right? That those sorts of ideas. So if, even if I'm building this for somebody else, those are the same things, right? I might be thinking about if it's being written on behalf of the marketing director at this company, I'm going to give it information about who is the marketing director, what's their name, what's some of their track record, that sort of thing. I'm also going to give it information about who is the company. What's the company's track record? Who do they serve? What are their products? That sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So the who documentation around me. The other who documentation that I like to put together that typically takes more time and effort, and really I have thinking and training around this by itself, is something, typically we call this a customer avatar, right? And that's who we're writing it for. So who am I? We covered. Who am I writing this for? Who is this being created for? And inside that documentation, I like to include lots of information. I like to think about this in advance, and I like to build a library of customer avatars. So the kinds of things that I like to put into there, I like to put in psychographic information, demographic information. So demographic information is like the basics, like this fictional person, who are they? What's their age? What's their name? What's their gender? Do they have kids? Are they married? Are they not? What are their aspirations? What are their motivations? What are their fears? What are their obstacles? What are the things that they've tried and failed? What pain is that causing them? I like to think through this thing and sort of build out a story for these people in advance. One of those subsets of that idea in building a customer avatar is something I do called a customer empathy map. And that's really where we dive into those pain points, those fears, those aspirations. I have documentation around the questions that I think through for that and how and why and how I build that out. But those essentially to me, those right now are my building blocks for how I build AI systems that could do nearly anything, right? So I can build out prompts that are designed to reference these separate documentation places where I've done a lot of work in advance, but I could pull them in dynamically as I need to, right? Where here's the thing that we're doing. That's essentially the prompt. I'm giving it specificity on how I want to do it with templates. Like what does that look like? What does the end result look like? I'm giving it more specificity with style maps to say, like, when you change words in here, here's some of the ideas for how you should change those words, right? Like how they should sound, how it should be formatted, long sentences, short sentences, etc. I'm also giving it the context about the position it's writing from, so it understands that role to take on if it's going to write on my behalf, my company, etc. And then it knows how to structure what we're talking about in light of the pain points of the person that we're talking to with that customer avatar and that customer empathy map. With those, with that documentation, that so far is what I build into my AI library. I build all of those components. And when I think about, I have a tool or I have a process that I'm wanting to build out, I start looking at what are the pieces that I need to build? What are the pieces that I already have built that I then just leverage in that process? So like, I don't keep rebuilding the information about me all that often. I build it once. I put in some work up front. I've got that built. I might adapt it here or there occasionally. Same thing with information about my company, right? Like I don't rebuild those often. Same thing with the customer empathy maps and the customer avatars. It's you put in the work up front, but then you keep reusing it. You pull in the customer avatar documentation when you're working with AI. The things that I do spend most of my time building are the prompts and the templates, right? So those are the things that I continually, as I have a new use case, I build a new prompt, I build new templates, and then that helps me to build things successfully. And this is the case whether or not I am doing building a process that I'm just going to run manually through a ChatGPT thread, or whether I'm building a full-on GPT that's designed to do these things in more of a recurring basis. I'll leverage this documentation in that process, either copy and paste the stuff just from my library or upload documents and have it reference it, those sorts of ideas. But that's essentially what I think through right now when it comes to building the success library. So what of that? Does that sound helpful to you? Does that sound useful to you? What stands out? How does that impact you? What do you think about those ideas?
Yeah, I like I like that you're starting with the end in mind. Like the prompt is the end in mind. So create a social media post for LinkedIn. Create a social media post for Twitter. Create these are my prompts, and then you work backwards. Here's my template, and then here's my individual pieces for all of that. And so that way it's more likely that, if I want to have, create a social media post for Reddit, I've got a lot of the pieces and I can just modify that one thing and kind of put it all together. So I like the, I like that you laid it out with the end in mind and then you brought it back. And then one of the things that I've learned, I've been working with our friend Richard with some stuff with AI, is that I don't have to give it as much information as I used to, or that I would think. For example, like I've got a buyer profile that I've used that I've created for my lenders, and I actually found a prompt that said, hey, create a buyer profile, and I would give it websites and it would create buyer profiles, and then I combined a bunch of them. So it wasn't 100% correct, but I didn't have to start from scratch because I'm not good at starting from scratch. Right. So, I guess my suggestion for someone would be, if you're wanting to create a buyer profile, if we can get, if they got your vault or they're in your mastermind, they'll get all the information. Right. But just start out and say, I want to build a buyer profile for, families that are about to have another kid and buy another home, or I want to build a profile for a realtor that does 8 to 12 transactions a year, and I can help them get to 24 to 36. Tell me what are their fears, what are their, build a profile so you can get started. But AI, when I've given it a website of a coaching company, it does really good at building a profile off of that.
Yeah, giving it any level of context to go off of really helps a ton. I've built profiles off of websites, off of YouTube transcripts, off of Yelp reviews, off of all sorts of things. Anywhere where you could sort of come together and be able to see either who is this person likely serving, or who is running into problems that they're helping. Through that context, it really is. You're able to sort of distill those ideas and extract them. And what I like to do is I like to have clarity around who I'm reaching. And so I might build out extensive documentation, but most of the time, that's actually not what I leverage in AI. I'll build out extensive documentation, and then I'll use that and get it to distill it down to its key components, its key ideas, because you are currently still typically limited by your token, your token count. And so you do still have to be somewhat strategic. And so I will take a big document and get it, try and distill it down into smaller ideas, and then leverage those smaller ideas in the context of my prompt and my templates and those sorts of ideas. And that can make a big difference. To me, the piece that this still ultimately comes back to, you're going to get better results by asking it to consider these ideas, period, right? By considering who you're talking to, who you are, etc. You will get even better results the more you know the things that actually matter, right? Being able to, knowing things like the levels of awareness, knowing things like what are their primary motivators versus like maybe the more subconscious motivators, so that those things get mixed in. Even if it's not the thing that they say on the surface, it's still the thing that you know matters to them. Being able to know to ask those questions, it could fill in the answers really well for you, but you almost have to know what to ask and know what you're looking for.
Right.
You'll get better you'll get good results just by having it considerate at all. You'll get better results by knowing what it should be considering. Right. And so that's where over time you refine these things and you start getting it to integrate. Like, you know, on your show, I forget what the name of the tool is, which is, it's probably somewhat silly because I think it's a really simple name, but where the concept is that you just basically keep asking why, right? You
right.
keep asking why this, right? And then you start getting to the underlying reasons, and you can do that same concept where if you start with what's going on and you understand the deeper reasons why it matters and start building that documentation, you actually build out a much better end result in the process. But the key point, start with where you are, right? And the way that I like to think about this, people see AI as a shortcut to not having to do work. And that's true. But if you start with that principle in mind of like, I'm going to be lazy, so I'm going to use AI, you will get poor results.
Right.
If you start with the idea of I'm willing to work really hard so I don't have to work hard at all, you will get amazing results.
Right.
and that's what, like, when I think through that library, that's what's going through my mind. What's going through my mind is that I will have thought through these things in depth. I have extreme clarity over what we're doing, why, and all of that. And so I have these pieces that they might take me a while to build at first, but once I've built them the first time, adapting them in the future is really easy, right? Like, yeah. Making a minor change in the future is really easy once I've considered who am I serving and what are their fears, what are their motivations, that sort of idea. And so I don't have to change that much. And similarly, templating for me has become easy because I've put the work into doing it. And I know that if I build a template, then I essentially have software that could reproduce something with very minimal inputs from here on in. And it takes work, but it makes it so that my long-term outcomes are drastically more leveraged. And I could put tasks onto people on my team because I've distilled my thinking into AI documentation that a human's able to then go and leverage without me. And yet we could still get the same end result where the places where I'm needed, which is like my unique insight, my unique point of view, my unique, my unique human spark is what we've talked about.
Right.
Where it needs me for that, I'm able to provide that alone and get everything else that I need.
Right.
And that's where things become really magical and why we look at building something like a library of these tools to make those processes easier. So, if you want that process to be even easier and you want to start from my insane level of building these things out in advance, seeing my templates, having me help you build templates, having me show you how I build customer empathy maps and customer avatars and prompts and all of the tools that I've done to make my life easier in that process, then I recommend that you check out what we're up to with the AI for Real Estate Teams Mastermind. You could check that out by going to realestategrowthhackers.com/contact. Let us know that you're interested. We'll get you the details of how you might be able to join up and be a part of what we're doing. So I highly encourage you, if you are interested in that, if you want me to help make that process easier, we still have availability currently. I actually record these episodes long in advance, so who knows if we'll have availability by the time you reach out, but reach out. At worst, get on our waiting list and we'll make sure and see if you're a good fit. And get you the information. There's no commitment in terms of asking us about it, seeing if it's a good fit, seeing if it's a good fit for you. But yeah, I highly encourage, if that sounds interesting to you, reach out to us and we'll see what we can do to help. But yeah, otherwise, any final parting words on this episode, Charlie?
One of the reasons that this probably made sense is I've seen your biblioteca. I've seen your library, and so like I've seen how it's all put together. And I remember when I got access, I was like, I think I've shared before, I was like a kid on Christmas, be like, oh my gosh, I've got access to all of this. So I would just say, do it. It's such a jump start. it's such a jump start. I've spent thousands of dollars on prompts and learning, and you know, I believe in the growth of the slight edge. You know, if I can get the slight edge, right, it's totally worth it. And it's not a slight edge; it's a mountain type, so it's pretty awesome.
Indeed, indeed. Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. So, yeah, if you want to check that out, what Charlie just described, our Amp Intel Elite Drive, where you get access to all of the prompts that I've built. We're also continually building out GPTs that make it even easier for you. We're doing work together live so that we're actually accomplishing things together, finding out what you need to build and helping you build it from our perspective. Trying to shorten that learning curve for everybody and getting these principles put into action rather than just teaching. We're actually building them live and doing them together. So if that sounds interesting to you, again, reach out, realestategrowthhackers.com/contact. At some point, we'll probably put together a page specifically about it. But right now, I'm purposefully keeping it somewhat hard to get in because I only want the motivated people, because so far it's a great group that are really putting these things into practice and actually leveraging them effectively. And I want to make sure that the people who come through are motivated. So realestategrowthhackers.com/contact if you are interested. And we'd love to see if it's a good fit for you. So anyway, until next time, this has been the Real Estate Growth Hacker Show. We'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Growth Hacker Show. Remember, done is better than perfect. To turn the marketing ideas and tactics you just learned into real growth for your real estate business, visit us at realestategrowthhackers.com. If you like this episode, consider sharing it with another real estate professional who could benefit from the information. Or maybe you'd like to subscribe to the show to never miss an episode. You can leave a rating or review on iTunes with your biggest takeaway, helping this show to reach and help more people just like you. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next episode.